Hi everybody, I'm Fati, and I will talk to you about the final definitions of today of the Alexander polynomial. But first I would like to thank the organizers for giving me this opportunity to learn about domains I didn't know before, or didn't know very well, and it was very enlightening. So I hope I can share this with you right now. So we saw some definitions of the Alexander polynomial today. So I'm copying Jean-Marc's graph here from the Thorez ID. First, from the ideal, which is related to the cyclotron, which is related to the sky relations. And from this, you can get states. Torsion is related to ideal. Fox calculus to torsion. And Bureau can be expressed with Fox, as we just saw in Konstantinov's talk. So now I'm going to tell you about two more definitions. So the references, so there are two parts of my talk, really independent. This first part uses the reference on the Melvin-Morton-Rosansky conjecture from Dr. Barnatan and Stavros Gaoufalidis. And the second part, the main article of this week, a polynomial time, not polynomial, from Roland and Rob. So, just to get you, to give you an idea, this definition, defining the Alexander polynomial, or rather the Conway polynomial, as a Vasiliev power series, you can relate it to the Stein definition, and also, if I understood it well, to the Seifert definition, but I won't go into detail. And the Weyl algebra, this is the second part of the talk, you can relate it to the Bureau representation. So you see, our graph gets bigger. So in the first part, the first part will have three subparts. In the first one, I will give you some preliminaries about Vasiliev invariance on singular knots. And then I will talk about chord diagrams and weight systems, and the universal Vasiliev invariant Z, also known as the Kontsevich integral. Don't worry, I won't go into details. So weight systems are nice because they are a way of translating Vasiliev invariants. They are, in a sense, equivalent to Vasiliev invariants. So you can express the Conway polynomial as a weight system, as I will say in the third part. All right. My writing is not very good. My English is not perfect. And I might use some details. Please ask questions. Don't hesitate. Okay, so let's begin.
First question, why it is 8 and 9? There are different numbers also.
Ah, because we also just erased it. We also already saw 7 definitions. So you see, this is like in all long trilogies, this is episode 8 and 9. Are they better than the last ones? Time will tell. Time will tell. All right, so first part, singular knots and Vasiliev invariants. Let's start with some definition. I say that Km is the set of m singular knots. So what does this mean? It really, I will approximate knots with diagrams. So really think about this as knots, not diagrams, with m double points. So not only crossing, overcrossing, undercrossing, but also double points, singularities. So you have, so these are knots with m such double points. So for example, K0 is just the classical set of knots, like the trefoil or the trivial knots. K1 is when you have one virtual crossing, singular crossing, and a classical tangle. You get the idea. So I will also denote K to be the disjoint union of all Km. So when I say singular knots, I say an element in K. But sometimes I will want to keep in the same gradient, stay in the same gradient, sorry. So there will be a lot of notations with gradient M and stuff like this, so I will keep track of them here. Here, K is the disjoint union of the Km. And an example that I quite like is this knot here is in K2. You see it's like the trefoil, but with two singular rods. This is an element in K2. Alright, so now that we have singular knots, we can define Vassiliev invariants. So, I say that Vm is the space of Vassiliev invariant of type A, and I will define this right now. This is a map F from K to R, or to Q, or to C, or anything, but let's just say R for this loop, but it's not that important, that satisfies some conditions. So let's see that. In all the talk, M will be a non-negative integer, or will be an integer, a natural number. You get the idea. So F satisfies first the fact that on K0 it's a non-invariant, so write the maximum move, isotopy, classical stuff. It satisfies a singular relation, which is F of a singular crossing is F of this positive crossing minus the negative crossing. So you see, this is exactly for, like for Sky. You understand that the rest it does not change, and in the rest there might be other singular crossings. Yeah.
So where the orientations come in? I mean, what is oriented?
Yeah. Let's say that everything is oriented.
Every arc is oriented.
Your singular knot will have an orientation. I mean,
a
singular knot is exactly like a knot, except that at some crossings, they are not true crossing, but singular ones. So, thank you. And finally, we need a condition that depends on M, and this is the following. F is just zero on Km if M is strictly bigger than M. So, it only gives non-trivial information for m singular knots at most. This is what we call a Vassiliev invariant of type m. So for example, before an example, let's see with this definition, we can see that Vm is included in Vm plus 1. If it dies on m plus 1 and bigger, it will die on m plus 2 and bigger. Alright, so I can define V as the direct union of the Vn. And this is all the Vassiliev invariants. So it's a filtered vector space over the reals. It's even an algebra, but I won't care about this in this talk. So for example, if you have an element in V0, what does this mean? It means that it dies on all singular knots with one singular crossing or more. So this implies that this dies, this is just zero. This implies that F of a positive crossing is equal to F of a negative crossing, thanks to the relation here. So then you know that every knot, if you allow crossing changes, can be put back to the trivial knot. So up to this equality, you see that F is constant on all knots. So that means that V0 is simply R times the constant map equal to 1 on classical nodes. So this notation is just so that you see that V0 is simply R to the power 1. Yeah.
I think you're just considering nodes and not links then.
Yeah, only nodes here.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So maybe let's write this down before we forget. Vasilev invariants. V is the directed union of the VM, and V is included in the map from K to R. Alright. And let's talk about finally the hero of the day, the Alexander polynomial, or rather the Conway polynomial, as another example of a Vasilev invariant. So the Conway polynomial, let me remind you the definition. I will call it C here. It was called Nabla in previous talks, but here we will call it C as living in R of Z, and it satisfies C of singular equal C of positive minus C of negative equal Z C of smooth. All right. And this defines it on all virtual nodes, singular nodes. And for the trivial node, you ask that it's 1. All right. So for example, C of the trifold node, the trifold, is 1 plus z squared. And it is related to the Alexander polynomial. So Ck of z is related to dk of t by z equal square root of t minus 1 over square root of t. And so you see that for the trifold, this will give you is that true? Yeah, this is equal to t minus 1 plus 1 over t, which is the yeah.
Is there any property? So now you're taking out the values for polynomial, right? R, polynomials over R, not in R.
Sorry, this polynomial? Oh, I did not say yet that it's a Vasilev invariant. Actually, it's not a Vasilev invariant, it's coefficient R Vasilev invariant. And this might answer your question. Thank you, sorry for the confusion. I just wanted to open a parenthesis, because when we work with Alexander polynomial and Conway polynomial and multivariable Alexander polynomial, sometimes we get confused, you know. So what is this version? Is this normalized? Is it defined with one variable, two variables, whatever? So my advice, always check on the trifold, the trivial knot, and the Hopf. And remember, is it 1 plus z squared? Okay. Is it this? Okay. And you will get less confused. Okay. So, the coefficients of the Conway polynomials are Vasilev invariants in the following sense. If you write Ck of z as a0 of k plus a1 of k z plus you know the rest, then for all m, am of dot is in here. So each coefficient of the Conway polynomial is a Vasilev invariant of type the respective degree. All right. So a sketch of the proof is the following. if you have a singular knot with m singular crossings, then by applying the relation, let's say m plus 1, by applying the relation m plus 1 times, you get C of this when all the crossings are not smooth. So this implies that this the Conway polynomial is divided by z to the power m plus 1. And this will imply that the small coefficients are necessarily zero, and this will give you the definition as a Pascal invariant. I don't write the details, but it's the main idea. Alright, so its coefficients are Vassiliev invariants, but it's not itself Vassiliev invariants, so we call it a Vassiliev power series. So a Vassiliev power series is, well, just a sum, a formal series on the variable z, and each of the coefficients is in Vn. And the proposition exactly says that C is a Vassiliev power series. All right, everything clear so far? So now, actually, you can see the Conway polynomial as a particular Vassiliev power series, which is a canonical Vassiliev power series. And this is in part two, because there is an equivalence between Vassiliev invariants and weight systems on chord diagrams, which I will define now. And this equivalence really works well when the Vassiliev power series are canonical. So this will be convenient. And this might not be clear, but don't worry, it will get clear. All right, so let's go to part two. Chord diagrams, weight systems, and the universal Vassiliev invariants. And we start first with some more definitions. We say that an M chord diagram is a line going from left to right with a certain number of segments, like this, and this number is M, which is the same as taking a circle and taking M chords in the circle. You see, here you have three chords in this example, and and this is the same because if you cut the circle at any point and you unravel it as a line, the straight chord will become this little curve. Yeah, sure. So you might want to say that up to permutation and or shifting, it's the same chord diagram, or maybe it's different. I would be vague about this, but yeah, this is really true. Alright, and so, okay, let's do an example here called diagrams. We can also look at the disjoint union of all chord diagrams, we call it D. And for example, we have this with two chords, which is the same as this with a line, and it's in D. Alright, so now, why am I talking about this? Well, there is a link between chord diagrams and knots. As you will see right now, there is a process to get from a chord diagram D in Dn to get K, which is, we could call Km of D in Kn. But this is not well defined. There will be several knots that that can be obtained like this. So this will not be a well-defined map, but I write it like this for now. The chords will indicate the double points, the singular points. And the line here, it's the same as following the note. So you know a note is an embedding of the circle. You start at a point, you do a trajectory, you go back to where you started. So imagine that the trajectory is exactly the line, and when it meets one chord, it means that you are at a double point. And each chord meets the line at two times of the trajectory. So let's clarify this with an example. Because really, if you have to remember anything of my talk, I hope this is this, because this is really nice. To get from a diagram to a knot. So I will use this example, obviously. And some colors. So one double point will be green, one will be orange. And we are following the line. First it starts white, then after green, let's say it becomes yellow. And then after orange, it becomes blue. And then after green again, it becomes, well, I'm running out of colors, red. And then back to white. So let's draw the knot. First it is white. And then it goes to green. So and it comes out yellow. So this is really the beginning of your trajectory. It comes out yellow in a straight line. Alright? It has to go to orange, to the orange double point. So here it does a turn. It has to come out blue. Okay? It comes out blue. It has to go back to green. Okay? It goes back to green. And comes out red. Alright? And now, is everything clear so far? And now it goes back to orange. And it has to come out white and go back to the beginning. Okay, sorry. So it comes out white. And then you see the problem. It has to cross the blue. So we have to add a crossing. A true crossing over under, like this, and go back to the beginning. We cannot add a double point because we have only two double points. So here I made a choice. I chose this crossing. I could have chosen another crossing. I could have added some randomizer loops and stuff like this. This is ambiguous. This is why I told you that defining a knot, it's not in a unique way, but this ambiguity will be killed later. So, here, from this diagram, you get this knot. So you might see this is really the trefoil, a little twisted. Okay, is everything clear so far? So now, what will be the equivalent of Vassiliev invariance? This will be weight systems. So WM is the set of M weight systems. And what is this, you might ask? This will be the linear maps of vect of DM quotiented by some relations, which I won't write in detail, draw in detail, because they are quite long. And W is the direct sum of all Wm. So you start from a linear combination of chord diagrams up to some equivalence relation. You say that if two chords are like this, then it will be the same as two chords are like that, or some linear relations. And then you do the linear forms on this. So this is the same as assigning weights to each chord diagrams, right? Assigning a coefficient, a scalar, to each of the chord diagrams. So I guess this is why it's called weight systems. And in general, when you do not define it only on M chord diagrams, so we will call this a general weight system W. So finally, our last ingredient, weight system. Wm is linear of vec dm quotiented by some stuff at r, and w is the direct sum of the wm. All right. So now all the objects are written on the central board.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Are these weight systems related to weights from quantum groups? In the presentation of quantum groups?
I don't know.
No.
I will say no. Thanks, Rob. So, I told you that there's an equivalence between chord diagrams and singular knots. We saw with the process. And also between weight system and Lassiot invariance. And this is the following proposition. There exists a map Wm, capital Wm, not round Wm, going from Bm to round Wm. See it as a contour, maybe. So it takes the Lassiot invariance, which is a function from k to r, and if is Wm of f, where Wm of f is defined as f composed with the km process with ambiguities that I talked about before. It goes from dm to r, and you extend it linearly. So from a Vassiliev invariance, you can define a weight system. So let me clarify with this example. Imagine a Vassiliev invariance that goes from knots to R. Now, from a chord diagram, you apply the process, you get a knot. And then you apply the Vassiliev invariance, you get to R. So at the end, you have something from the chord diagram to R. Extended linearly to linear combinations, you get exactly a weight system. Well, you have to check that it satisfies the relations, but I will admit that since I did not draw them. So, all right. So, why is this well defined? Why is the ambiguity clear? Is it okay if I just give you the idea of the proof? Okay. The idea is the following. On this example, imagine you take a Vassiliev invariant of type 2 on this knot here. You want to say that from a chord diagram you get this knot and then you apply the Vassiliev invariant. But you want to be sure that what you get at the end, the real number you get at the end, does not depend on the knot you chose here. But the ambiguity that I talked about is some crossing changes here. And you see, since you already have the maximal number of singular points, since f is of type 2, if you change the crossing here, the difference will be equal to f on something with 3 singular points, and so it will be 0. So here, as long as you take a type 2 Vassiliev invariant, the crossings you chose do not matter. So this is not an equivalence, right? From a Vassiliev invariant, you get a weight system. So you might not be able to go back. And indeed, in general, you don't. You cannot. But let me talk about the universal Vassiliev invariant. So this is a definition slash theorem. There exists a knot invariant that goes from K to some completion of vector D. So think of it as power series on chord diagrams. This is the Kontsevich integral, or universal Vassiliev invariant. There are several definitions of the Kontsevich integral. There's one with chord diagrams. There are others with other types of diagrams. And I don't know much about this. But yeah, this exists. And this helps us make the definition that a Vassiliev invariant is canonical if okay, so I will do the diagram here. If the following diagram commutes, you have f that goes from Kn to R, no, sorry, from K to R. This by Z go to vector D computed. Then you have a projection to just vector Vm. And then you have Wm of F, the weight system. And you want, you say that F is canonical if this commutes. So mostly, F is just Wm of F composed with Z. So with this definition, we see that if we have two Vassiliev invariants that are canonical, if and only if the associated weight system are the same. Okay, from this direction, if they are equal, then by definition of a well-defined map, these are equal. But if these are equal, you just compose by Z, the universal Vassiliev invariant, and you get back F equal F prime. Alright, so being canonical is convenient if it means that we can work with weight system and chord diagrams instead of singular knots. Is this nice? We'll see in the final part. But maybe before, I will just reassure you with some examples. The Conway polynomial and the Humphrey polynomial are canonical, in a sense. So as I understood it, if you do some change of variable, some shift on the variable on your polynomials, they might become canonical or become not canonical. So there are some variable stuff and some normalizations that give that the Conway and the Humphrey are canonical Vassiliev power series. Sorry, so I should have said that this canonical notion extends to power series. Just say that each coefficient is canonical. All right, and this is complicated. It comes from their definition of Humphrey from the Rechtikin Toraeff invariance. So you just have to take my word for it. They are canonical. Are there any questions before part 3? Alright, nice.
So, just...
yeah.
The Conway polynomial here, you define it as...
1 plus z squared on the free form.
Ah, you define it with the scan relation, yes. and the singular...
Yes, okay. And the singular relation combined with the scan relation.
Okay.
which you can always do for any knot invariant. Well, you can always try to do it on any knot invariant. You start from a knot invariant and you extend it to singular knots with the singular relation. So finally, let's talk about the Conway weight system, WC. So definition. Let's start from a chord diagram, and we will get what we call the thickening of the diagram in the following way. If you have a chord like this, you transform it like this. So it's like cutting the line and doubling the chord, all right? And if you have two chords that intersect, then you don't care about this. You just draw any nice crossings. You don't care about this because now I will define WC of D as Kronecker symbol of one number of connected components of thickening of D. So it is either one or zero.
Sorry, delayed question for
before. No problem.
Did you also say that this WM is subjective? From curly V and curly WM.
I did not say this. Is it subjective? I would guess that it is, but I have not
think that's a theorem of consent, I think. And then that says that given any homomorphism from vector V and to R, there exists exactly one.
Yeah, I mean, you could get back using this relation, right?
So that tells you there is at most one, and I think it's true that there is exactly one, so there is one.
Wait. So this is basic set theory, but this has me confused. All right, if you have a weight system, you want to know if there are always a Vassiliev invariant that gives this weight system.
You can pre-compose by Z as a projection, but the question is it actually a
Vassiliev invariant?
Is it actually a knot?
Yeah, I would guess that it is. I think that it is, but I'm not really sure. Maybe. So let's maybe postpone this question. So we define WC of a diagram as 1 or 0, and just look at the connected components. So let's see an example. If you have this, which is just the theta graph, this we get two connected components, WC of D equals 0. But if you have D equals the x graph, then you can see that it's only one connected component, so WC of D is 1. Alright, so now I have a map on any chord diagram to integers. I extend it linearly, and actually it will be a weight system. It will check the relations that I did not state, but this works. So this defines a weight system, which is called the Conway weight system, because property WC is W of C. C is just WC composed with Z. So one way of seeing it is looking at the definition of Z with kind relations and see how this becomes from in the chord diagram language. All right, since I'm pretty late. Since I'm pretty late, I think I will stop here for the first part of the talk. Let me just say out loud that you can also compute, well, let me write this theorem. You can also compute WC of D as a determinant of an intersection matrix. On the chord diagram. It's not complicated to define, and if you take its determinant, you get exactly WC of D. So now, actually, in this, you can see relations with the ciphered definitions of the Alexander polynomial. So, kind of ciphered. Two ways of defining the weight system, the Conway weight system, which is equivalent to the Conway polynomial thanks to the Kantsevich integral. So this gives you one or two ways of defining the Alexander polynomial as a canonical power series. Are they useful way for computations? No, because the Kantsevich integral is really strong but really hard to compute and not known at all. So saying, hey, I want to compute the Conway polynomial, I will use this simple stuff with connected components and compose it with Z, it might not be a good idea. But it's interesting theoretically to know that you can generalize these constructions to other invariants. All right. So that was for the first part about canonical pair.
Yeah, I don't see the two components and the one in your example.
Okay, no problem. So, you thicken this, you have one component here, and one there.
Okay.
So, two components. And here, you just follow the line, because it's just one line.
In the proposition, what is W? It is a WC equals W of C.
Yeah. Is your WM? Yeah, W. Wm of C as at each gradient. Sorry, this is a functorial way. For any singular knot, m singular knots, the corresponding m chord diagrams, then Wm of C is equal to Wc of the diagram. All right. So this was the first part about canonical Vassiliev power series. So now let's talk about something completely different, the Weyl algebra. Alright, so you might remember from the Hobbes talk this morning, the general idea was that to cut your knot, your object, into small pieces, and then you will compute your invariant on the pieces and have some rules to stitch them together, and you will be able to compute the invariant for a general knot. So I will give some explicit computations, but not a lot, because it gets complicated very fast. But it's doable, and it's all. There's not much hidden, it's just a little technical. So for this talk, I will skip some details. So when you have a long knot diagram, so this is a knot, right? This is a long knot diagram. You can look at pieces of the long knot. So you have these pieces. The positive crossing, the negative crossing, the negative term, and the positive term. So these are called cups, cups and caps at the same time. You see, we always go from bottom to top following our knots, and we always cut at moment where we go from bottom to top. So this will be our pieces. Maybe the arrow will be here or here, but it will always start going up and end going up. And when you glue pieces like this, you can get any long knot net diagram up to a little isotope. So we compute an invariant Z on the pieces, and this gets Z on a knot. So, disclaimer, Z is not the same as the Kontsevich integral. Z, forget about the previous part. Z is now a new knot invariant defined thanks to the Weyl algebra. Alright? So this is the general idea, so let's talk about the Weyl algebra in more detail. So let R be Q of square root of T. This is our base field. And W, the Weyl algebra, to be R. So I don't know if you know this notation, but I will explain it. Because we don't all have the same notation, so let me just be sure. By x in 1 plus x1. So these are non-commutative formal series in x and y. So it's like polynomials in two variables, non-commutative, but of degree going to infinity. Formal power series on x and y, non-commutative. But then you quotient by yx equals 1 plus xy. And you see, you get the idea that with this relation, you can take all the x and put them on the left, and all the y and put them on the right. You get more terms, but all the terms are nice. Yeah?
So is the R the same one? Is it reals and
oh, no, sorry. It's R the ring, the field here, Q of square root of T. Thank you very much. Yeah, so after this, the elements of W are all of the form xij, as I explained. Alright, so for example, xy is in W, right? And xy square, what is it? We will write it with this canonical form. It's xy. And by using the relation, you can see that it's just xy plus x squared and y squared. So this is a product that is not the usual concatenation product, because we want all the terms to be of this form. All right? And you can also get exponentials. So exponential of xy, it's defined as 1 plus xy plus xy squared over 2 plus blah blah blah. There will be a lot of exponential. The reason was explained in Bros talk this morning. You can define all the following objects with differential operators, as Bros did, but I won't do it. I will just give you the values to save some time. Alright, so now let's define our invariant Z, which go from diagrams with M connected components to W tensor product M. Okay, so now M connected components, what does this mean? So let's see on the pieces what we get. So for this, the positive quark, you get 1 over square root of T. The negative quark, you get square root of T. So these have one connected component. There's only one strand. For crossing, you name the strands. This is 1, this is 2. And this will be 1 over square root of t exponential of 1 minus t x1 tensor product y2 minus 1 tensor product x2, y2. And so you see, this is in W1 tensor W2. All right? Is everything clear with this formula? This is an object living in tensor product of W and W with indices 1 and 2. All right? Okay, so now let's simplify and complicate things at the same time. This is a little heavy. So we will note notation. We will note this as x1, y2, and 1, x2, y2, as just x2, y2. So you see, you get only quadratic terms, but be careful, they are not exactly the same. They look the same as old, good old quadratic terms, they are not exactly the same. Alright, so you also define for the negative crossing square root of t here.
Can you say again what looking in the sure.
Sorry. 1 minus t times x1 tensor y2, 1 tensor x2 y2.
X2 y2.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to see.
I assume. Thank you. Yeah. All right. You also ask that Z of a disjoint union of diagrams is just the tensor product. So you might reorder the strands, you know, reorder the coordinates. There are some number, some strand indices here, some there, some different indices there. Well, we get intuitive stuff and some stitching that I will write. But first, notice that in all this example, Z of V is of the form 1 over delta of V, which is in R, times exponential a vector times quadratic. Linear form, a matrix. So what do I mean by this? I mean by that here, for the crossing, this is written x1, y2 minus x2, y2, right? This is the same as x1, x2, 0, 0, minus 1, 1, y1, y2. This is a bilinear form. As long as we accepted this notation, shortcut, this becomes
so what,
x1, y2 minus x2, y2.
No. The red thing there.
Two.
No. Before the other crossing.
Okay. The one.
So what's the difference? You have one going over two.
I will tell you. The difference becomes.
No. Before you, just for your hand is right now. You have strand 1 going over strand 2.
Yeah, that's correct. That's what we want. We want the over strand to be 1 in this formula. This is correct.
Well, what's the difference between the white and the red? That's what
because this is positive and this is negative. This is a positive crossing and this is a negative crossing. And they won't give you exactly the same, the same thing. The coefficient will be square root of t instead of 1 over square root of t. And this will be 1 minus 1 over t instead of 1 minus t. It's just taking t and replacing it by 1 over t.
So what's what you call connected component or strand?
Yeah, exactly, strand. All right. So, do you believe that at least on these examples, this checks out? You get 1 over an element in R, a polynomial, a rational function, and here you can write this as a matrix, square matrix. All right, so now the stitching stuff. Yeah. So I'm at 55 minutes. Can I go over 60 minutes?
15 minutes, yeah.
Yeah? Okay. So if anyone wants to leave because they are hungry, I won't mind. So don't hesitate. And I can, and we can talk about this some more after. Okay. Are there people taking notes? Okay, cool. So I will write the detail. Okay, you have a diagram. If you stitch two strands together, you stitch end of strand 1 to beginning of strand 2. Okay? Then you get one less strand. This is like Brown talked about. It is the product stuff, Y2J becomes strand K. And this will be 1 over delta of D, determinant of identity minus W, Q of D. I will explain what all this means, don't worry, times exponential of x 1 equal to t q prime of d y 1 equal to, where q prime is q minus, times identity minus wq minus 1, where w is 0 on the diagonal, 0 under, and some one, a 1 here at the coordinate 1, 2. And here you also impose x1 equal x2, and y1 equal y2. So it's like in Rostock. You do some stuff, and then you kill some variables. So, what you do? You define W with the information of the strands you want to stitch together. This will give you a sub-triangular matrix, strictly, with some ones corresponding to the order of the stitchings. And then you define Q prime like this. This will be invertible. And finally, you get the new value. Phew! Quite technical, not very clear, but at least it's written.
What is Q?
Q is the original, I just erased it. Q is the original stuff in Z of D. Z of D is written as a scalar and exponential of a quadratic matrix. Yes, everything depends on the error. Except for W. W depends on 1 and 2. Yes, sorry. X 1 equal 2 is the coordinate vector where the coordinate x1 and x2 are just fused into a new coordinate. You can call it xk or x1. The matrix will be smaller. And this is not clear, right? Okay, I will do an example.
Can you just say, so Q is the same as Q of D. There is no...
Yes.
Right. And what is W?
It's...
I just cannot decode this. What is written there?
The elementary matrix E12.
Is the elementary matrix E12?
It's this, and there might be some non-zeros. It's, okay, so it's this, or this. It's an elementary matrix, 1, 2. This might get clearer with an example. is a disjoint union of a positive crossing and a positive quark. Positive, negative quark, sorry. Right? So this is just the product of these. And so it is written 1 over square root of t, exponential 1 minus t, x1, x3, 0, 0, minus 1, 1, y1, y3, times this, which is just square root of t. This is just from the definitions. This is square root of t, but you can obviously also see it as square root of t times 1, or times exponential of 0, or times exponential.
Is the matrix is 0 minus 1, 0, 1?
Yes, 0 minus 1, 0, 1. This is just 1, but I can write it as exponential of a quadratic form. It's just a 0 quadratic form on the coordinate 2. So now I want to do some stitching. I want to stitch 1 to 2 and 2 to 3 in this order. So but first, let me just say that here, this is 1 times exponential of x1, x2, x3, times 0, 0, 1 minus t, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, t minus 1, y1, y2, y3. Why is this true? Because this part is just this part on the coordinates 1 and 3. And you did what? You did the direct sum of this matrix in the coordinate 2. And so now I write it as an element in w1, w2, w3. And now we want to do some stitching. Let's do some stitching. So the end of 1 must be stitched to the beginning of 2, and the end of 2 must be stitched to the beginning of 3. And then you get only one strand. And this strand will be like this. Since there's only one coordinate in room, I will not write indices. And so this is, by the definition I gave, exponential 1 over 1 times determinant of I minus y, W cube, exponential of just 1x, 1, 2 prime, y. This is a 1, 1 matrix. Alright? So where does this 1 come from? It comes from here. This was just the delta of d. And this, new color, was the cube. The cube that will appear here. Alright. So we have identity, is the identity in dimension 3, W here, so maybe this will get clearer. Now for this W, I add ones at any coordinates that correspond to to what is teach to what. So here, one is teach to two and to three. So they all become one big string. So you will put some ones here. All right? So Q is the matrix here. You compute this to be 1, 1, 1, 0, 0, 0, 0, 1 minus t, 1 minus t. Okay, trust me on this one. Its determinant is just 1. And then Q prime, which was defined as Q times this, the inverse of this stuff, believe me, well, with some identifications, identify 1, 2, 3, this matrix is just Q. So this is Q where you identify all the coordinates 1, 2, 3. So what does this mean in matrices? It means that you sum all the coefficients in 1, 1, 1 matrix. Because before, you had 1 minus t times x3, y1, t minus 1, x3, y3. But they all become xy. So you have to sum all of this into 1, 1, 1 matrix. And this, you see, it's just 0. A 1, 1 matrix. So this stuff is 1. This stuff is 0. Thus, Z of this regular